HBCU Sports with Trevin A. Jones on Urban Media Today Radio.
Happy Turkey Day, and I hope you're enjoying the holiday weekend. Today on the HBCU Report, we're featuring a couple of stars who've overcome obstacles in their freshman years to leave major impacts on their respective football programs as seniors, one on the offensive side of the ball and one on the defensive side of the ball. And we'll also take a look at the Turkey Day Classic and this weekend's 44th annual Bayou Classic. More right after this. Looking for some magic? Urban Media Today Radio. For the very best in adult and urban music, listen to us on our app at TuneIn or Live 365. Urban Media Today features great music, entertainment updates, HBCU sports, breakfast toast and jams mixes for your morning wake up, and sports. Like us on Facebook, Twitter, or Instagram, and register to win prizes on a weekly basis. All right here on Urban Media Today Radio.
Call RSG Financial for your bookkeeping, accounting, and tax service needs. Call 412-742-4345. RSG Financial provides accounting and tax services for business and personal needs. Call us or email Mary Jo at RiversideSalesGroup.com. Riverside Sales Group is proud to be an organization with minority ownership. Call today, 412-742-4345.
Back on Urban Media Today's HBCU Sports Report, Trevin A. Jones here. Happy Turkey Day weekend. Speaking of the bird we're still stuffing ourselves with, there's a classic being held in honor of the holiday, and that's the Turkey Day Classic. This year's battle is between Alabama State and Edward Waters College, pitting two old friends in a head-to-head matchup as Hornets interim head coach Donald Hill Illy will face Alvin B. Wyatt, and Coach Hill Illy says he knows what he's going to get from Wyatt's Tigers.
He and I are friends go way back to the MEAC days when he was at Bethune and I was at Morgan. So, you know, and in this business, you don't really change that much when it comes schematic. So I know he's going to be running his what they call his wide bone, which is a form of triple option. I know he's going to run his 34 defense, which was the wide defense back in the day. So those were things that he were able to win a lot of championships with when he was at Bethune. So I don't see him changing that much. You know, the personnel, quite naturally, Edward Waters is a Division II program. You know, so the depth shouldn't be as great as ours. So, you know, we're still looking for a great ball game, a great contest.
The Hornets and Tigers have only met one time before, and that was way back in 2009 in a game where the black and gold came out on top, 38-6. That being said, the Hornets have won the last four Classics, and this is the first time their opponent will be the school from North Florida. ASU has won four of their last five games and will face a Tiger squad who's in the midst of a four-game losing streak. So who should you keep an eye on? Well, how about at the quarterback position for the Hornets? It could be Kobe Jones or Darryl Pearson Jr. under center. And if it's Pearson Jr. under the center, watch out for the running game as well as the passing game. Meanwhile, number 6 linebacker Jeffrey Hill and number 97 Andre Wilson are both coming off good performances against Mississippi Valley State. Speaking of defensive players and good performances, that brings me to Ozband O.J. Thompson, the 6'1 All-American linebacker out of Tuskegee, who recently had been named the SIAC, that's Southern Intercollegiate Athletic Conference, Defensive Player of the Year for a second year in a row. Ozband, how you doing?
I'm doing good.
Let's get right to it. You're a two-time SBN Black College All-American, and in your freshman year, you were the conference co-defensive player of the year. In the 4 years you spent at Tuskegee, you never experienced losing more than 3 games in a season, and you made it to the D2 playoffs every year except this season. And that after winning the SIAC crown. Talk about not being in the postseason this year for the first time.
Well, this year we had high hopes. Like, we knew we were going to go to the playoffs. All we had to do was win out from, I think it was from Miles' game. We just had to win out from Miles in the conference championship. And then I thought we had, like, a for sure bid inside the playoffs. But I guess, like they said, the strength of our schedule didn't match up to, like, other opponents in the region. They said, like, playing Division I AA schools didn't matter. I don't know. I just thought, like, we had a for sure bid by winning our conference championship. At least that's what I was told, and, like, all my other teammates also. So it really hurt. And then now, well, I'm still at the school for Thanksgiving break because I really had plans going to the playoffs, so I ain't even book a flight. back home to Miami.
So you're not going home for Turkey Day?
Actually, my mom, she's coming up from home to go watch my brother's game at Alabama State. So we're gonna have Thanksgiving at my house after the game.
You have a brother that's playing in the Classic?
Yeah, he started center. His name Carl Thompson. He's a sophomore now.
So tell me, how did you make the trek from Miami to Tuskegee?
Well, that's when I first came to Tuskegee. Like, well, I didn't really want to come here. When I first came, I cried when I came on from my orientation. Because I was a walk-on at first, though. I wasn't on no football scholarship. So when I came up, I came for orientation. I'm like, man, I don't want to go down. And she's like, just see how it goes. And the plan was to transfer after my sophomore year. But, I mean, when I got up here, I just started to love it. And I was doing good with school and football. So over the years, I was just like, all right, I'm going to stay, Mom. And then she's like, just stay. You doing good. And just playing football alone. Coming in from my freshman year to my senior year, I just seen how I became a leader on the field and off the field and how people looked up to me. Not being at home, I felt like by my senior year. And like I got a lot of younger guys on the team that really look up to me. It just felt like home now.
So Coach Willie Slater and the Golden Tigers weren't your first choice?
Well, actually, I got recruited out of high school. I was supposed to go to University of Rutgers. But the weekend of my visit, the coach got fired for bullying. And I didn't get a chance to go on my visit. So when he got fired, that's when Tuskegee, they recruited me out of high school, but still my spring semester, but I ain't never have a football scholarship here. But I just, my principal in high school, he went here also, and he helped me get up here.
So wait, you end up at Tuskegee and became a Black College All-American. Who helped you develop and excel?
Let me see how it was. Like my freshman and sophomore, my freshman year, I had a bunch of older guys like Jewel Ratliff and Malik Chen. Those are the guys who I had to look up to. But once Chen graduated, it was just me and Jewel Ratliff that played linebacker. And then my junior year, I was the only one left out that pack. So playing with them, I actually learned a lot. And also my coach, Coach Jackson, he really helped me. I used to watch film a lot with him, and just the game became more easier because we used to have one-on-one film times. I had class on Tuesdays and Thursdays, and I couldn't meet with the team, so it just be me and him in his office for about 2 hours on Tuesday and Thursday just watching film. We'd be in there talking about anything, football, life, anything. And just watching film more and more each day, it just made the game more easier to me. And, like, I actually knew what teams were going to do, like, because the way our defense set up and how Coach Carter set up also, he give us a percent, like, what teams really going to do. I knew the game and just watching film and just being out there, it's like, okay, boom, I know what they're going to do.
So the game slowed down for you so much this year that you led the team in interceptions playing linebacker and not defensive back. And you had more INTs than your teammate, who's an All-American defensive back. And I'm speaking of Jonah McCutcheon.
Yeah. The thing with that, over the summer, me and Jonah, we was talking. He like, oh, I'm going to beat you in tackles and interceptions. I said, boy, you crazy. You really think you're going to beat me in tackles? I mean, well, in tackles for sure, but interception, I was like, make sure I beat him in interception. I know if you throw that ball back there, Jonah's going to get it. And I could rely on him on all the deep balls. I know you put it anywhere in the facility because Jonas, he actually a real good basketball player too. And I think that's where he got his ball skills from, because even when we're playing basketball on the court, any rebound, Jonas going to go up and get it. So Jonas just that ball hog back there, and I know he going to get the fig anytime you throw it back there. So me and him, we'll compete. We had a little deal going on. So I wanted to make sure I lead the team in tackles and interception.
So what's up next? And are you looking to playing on Sundays at the next level?
I got a FCS Bowl coming up December 8th. I'm still waiting on like a big invite to one of the four big All-Star games. I've been talking to a couple agents. I think I'm about to find my agent probably this weekend. So I narrowed it down to about four agents. And this is what I really dreamed of. So, I mean, it's like I came this far and I refuse to just let it just go by. I know it's at stake. And I know what I really want to do in life. And now that I may have the opportunity, I'm just not looking back. I'm just really trying to plan forward and plan ahead. Just knowing that every opportunity that I get, I'm going to capitalize on it. And I'm just going to make the best of everything. I'm just going to enjoy the process.
Good luck to you, OJ. That was OJ Osband, an All-American linebacker from Tuskegee. And up next after the break, we'll take a look at this weekend's Bayou Classic, and we'll get a visit from an Howard University Bison who's a star at running back. I'm talking about Anthony Filial.
listening to Urban Media Today Radio, your station for classic soul, R&B, old school hip-hop, gospel, smooth jazz, and more. We're excited to add that we are your only source for your HBCU college football sports report with Trevin A. Jones. Your morning and afternoon commute is not the same with DJ Sergey Boogie and the Traffic Jam. Tune in 5 to 7 a.m. and 5 to 6 p.m. Listen in for your daily gossip inside the E-Report with yours truly, Kiki Brown. And don't forget about the Sunday Night Flashback with TJ, Sunday evenings at 5 p.m. Listen online at urbanmediatoday.com or download the TuneIn, Live 365, or Urban Media Today Radio apps. They're free, so take us with you. It's Urban Media Today Radio.
Back with the Thanksgiving holiday edition of the HBCU Sports Report with yours truly, Trevin A. Jones. The 44th annual Bayou Classic has meant a lot in the past, and this year the winner will make its way to the SWAC title game next weekend, with the winner of that game picking up an invite to the 3rd annual Air Force Reserve Celebration Bowl in Atlanta. Coach Broderick Fobbs and his 9-1 defending Black College National Champion Grambling State Tigers will take on Coach Dawson Odoms and his pesky Jaguars of Southern University. So what should you look for? How about watching the quarterback position, where Devontae Kincaid will be under center for Grambling State, averaging 223 yards per game, and that leads the conference. However, the Jaguars quarterback Austin Howard is second in the conference. He averages 203 yards a game. Or maybe you want to keep your eye on Tigers running back Martez Carter, who's third in the conference in rushing, or Southern freshman Jamar Washington, a 5'7 freshman who's on the top 10 in the conference in receptions per game and receiving yards per contest. One thing's for sure, Coach Fobbs knows what to expect from his own G-men.
We've done a really good job of building blocks on the building that we're building. And that's the way we go about each season, is, you know, building a foundation with week one and then seeing where we are and then going from there. And I thought that we've done a really good job of continuing to build on what we've been able to accomplish this season. So with a good quarterback, good running back, and then also a really good defense, it gives you a chance to be successful. So that's what it takes. But then also you have to be focused on the task at hand. And I think, you know, both teams do a really good job of focusing on what's right in front of them as opposed to thinking what's behind or two steps ahead.
Coach Fobbs always knows what he's talking about. Last season, the Tigers won this game, and the final score of that matchup was 52-30. They then went on to beat Alcorn State in the SWAC title game, and then North Carolina Central in the Celebration Bowl to claim the Black College National Championship. Meanwhile, Coach Dawson Odom says the X factor in this game will be the big bodies in the trenches.
Playing in a game that's got this much magnitude and this much riding on it, I think it's come down to the offensive line and defensive line on both sides. And whichever group can control the other is going to have the upper hand in the football game.
Regardless of where the battle is won, it's going to be an exciting game as the Tigers boast the number one scoring defense in the SWAC, and the Jaguars come in with a number three rushing offense. Speaking of offense, that brings me to a Bison who has been on the run in the MEAC the past two seasons. Last season, he rushed for 1,230 yards, going over 200 yards in two games, and that was on 222 carries. This season, AP, as he's known, rushed for 789 yards on only 135 carries, and he finished second in the conference in rushing for the second year in a row. I'm talking about Anthony Filyov, who's from L.A. AP, how you doing?
I'm fine.
All right, so let's get right to it. How was your Howard experience, especially with the transition of the football team this past season?
Well, through my 5 long years at Howard, you know, it's been a blessing. You know, it's been a struggle too, but, you know, we keep grinding. Because coming from 0-2 and changing our program around to 7-4 in 1 year with the help of Coach London, our senior guys, and also our young guys like B. Cook, you know, Jordan Scott, Aaron Walker, you know, on the defensive side. You know, they gave their best effort, and it showed on the field. It's just a great opportunity to turn around the program and, you know, just make Howard a football school again.
Talking about making Howard a football school again, how are you feeling about your impact on the program and what's next?
Good. You know, I just came every day, you know, show the young kids how to grind and just come in and put the work in beforehand, and then you'll reap the benefits at the end of the season. So it was a great opportunity. I just can't stress that enough. You know, and now that it's come to an end, you know, I'm happy to have the opportunity to be able to play in, you know, the NFLPA All-Star game, you know, getting the invite to all that and stuff. So, you know, it's a blessing. You know, I'm just humble. You know, I'm just trying to ride the course and see where this football takes me.
Speaking of seeing where football takes you, last season you rushed for over 1,200 yards, and this season, what was the difference?
I was just doing my thing, really. And I think last year, I think I got the ball way more times than I did this past season. Like this past season, I think we were more in the controlled scheme. So, you know, we were trying to feed everybody and use me as a decoy because, you know, I was kind of banged up. So, you know, during the second half of the season. So, you know, I think they used me as a good decoy, which was good.
Okay. So using you as a decoy, you still gained over 700 yards. And that could have been more, in my opinion. It seemed like any time you made a good run,
the refs were calling back.
Yep, that's right.
I'm not sure what was up with that, you know, but I can't complain. You know, I just come and I just work. So if they say it's holding, then I guess it's holding. We just got to, you know, make it up again. So that's always my mindset. But I don't never try to let a ref, you know, dictate how, you know, I played my game, you know. Just grind it out through the whole game. Just, you know, stay focused, stay poised, and everything should work out. We had a whole bunch of discussions with the O-line, like dang, like, what's up, O-line? They like, yo, we ain't even really holding. AP, you already know, it's because of you, like, you know what I'm saying? So it was fun, you know. It was actually exciting to, you know, just even, you know, have that being done to us. Like, just, okay, he breaks one, and then they call a flag, he got to do it again. Like, you know what I'm saying? But, you know, it's an all-out team effort, though, you know. I give thanks to, you know, my O-line, you know. Kaden Newton, quarterback. So it's team effort.
So how about wearing the number 7 for the Bison? That number was worn by Ted White, who was a great quarterback who led the conference and who held the record for the most offensive yardage in the conference. And then Jay Skywalker wore the number. And that was followed by Greg McGee, who broke Coach Ted White's record. And they all made Bison history at the quarterback position. Then here you come along and you wear the number as a running back. Was that by design?
In a way it was. I just always wanted to, you know, put myself on the platform. Like, okay, since they're the greats who've done it and they wore this number, I want to do it too. So, and I could also be great. That was my thing behind that.
So what's your advice for the next Bison who decides to don the number 7?
For the next Bison that comes in and wear number 7, just come in, work hard, just grind, and stay humble, and everything's going to work out.
Moving forward, what type of help are you getting as you prepare for what we hope will be an opportunity in the NFL?
Well, honestly, I'm not sure. I'm still getting some advice from, you know, our coaches, like, you know, Cato and, you know, Brandon Marion, who've been through this process, and also Coach London. I'm trying to get, you know, more information from them to, you know, just help me better myself and just know what to expect going on to the next level.
Sounds good. As we close out the show, AP, how did it feel as you wrapped up your collegiate career with so much hype and success this season?
It was great, you know, just to be a part of the turnaround, and it's a blessing. And just to be, just have so much impact in what was going on, like, it's just a blessing. And I'm just thankful for the opportunity again. If I had a chance to do it again, I'd do it all over again the same way. I have no regrets, you know, and I'm just humble. You know, I'm just ready to see all my hard work pay off.
That's Anthony Phil, y'all, the running back with the Howard Bison. AP, it's Thanksgiving holiday weekend. How are you going to spend it?
Well, I'm going to eat some good turkey and stuff with my family and just kick back.
I know that's right. That wraps up this HBCU report. Check back with me Monday for this weekend's results and a rundown of the updated Urban Media Today Black College Football Poll. And we'll also take a look at the all-conference teams. Happy holidays.
Touchdown! HBCU Sports with Trevin A. Jones on Urban Media Today Radio.